Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Angle to the left for Carpenter and a 53-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap, the ball is down. The kick is up. It's blocked. Blocked and bouncing across midfield. Still bouncing inside the 40. Picked up by the Patriots. They're going to run it in for a touchdown. Kyle Arrington picked up the blocked field goal attempt and ran it in from 40 yards out. The second Patriots block kick of the night for a big score. This time to make it the Patriots on top, 33-14, pending the extra point.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Oh, happy, happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. The phone number is always 508-543-7482. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio at patriots.com. And there are already tons of them in. And I have my Facebook page open, everybody, so you can post something on my wall. And I will try to get to as many as possible, I promise. Well, I was all set to come in here the other day on Monday, and you know, after that big win against the Dolphins in Miami, and talk about the phenomenal special teams, I was already set to have Kevin or Jason play. Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chung tonight and have a big Patrick Chung party and all that stuff and go crazy. But forget about it. Forget about it, because it is Randy, and more Randy. And that is obviously going to be the hot topic of the day. Patriots trading Randy Moss today to the Minnesota Vikings for a third-round pick. And I'm also hearing that that the Vikings are going to get New England's seventh-round pick in 2012. But that doesn't really matter, does it? Lots of thoughts about Randy Moss. I know this is going to be a hot topic, obviously, and I was talking to John Rook, and if you missed the crossover, I think this is a very, very similar situation, maybe not quite as severe as what the Red Sox went through with Manny Ramirez. And I have to believe, I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to give you my thoughts right off the bat, then I'll get to you guys, because I want to hear what you guys have to say. I know many of you are for it, many of you are against it, some of you just are pretty indifferent, don't know what to think about it. I will say right off the bat what I said to John Rook, okay, a couple of minutes ago. And that is, I believe this had to be probably one of the most difficult decisions in Bill Belichick's coaching career. I know Lawyer Malloy was. And I'm sure Randy Moss, this was right up there doing it. Now, you heard Mike Reister report today on ESPN.com about Moss and quarterback coach Bill O'Brien involved in a heated exchange at halftime. Player sources said it's not the first time they've had words. Now, if you talk to other players who played before, they will tell you that in the locker room at halftime, there are a lot of words exchanged by coaches and players versus players and all that stuff. So, maybe that's not as uncommon as people think. However, in this case, there's also another part of the report that says, you know, again, that's not the first time that those two have had words. So I got to believe, and somebody pointed out the stat today, you know, Moss was targeted, I think, 44 times through four games last year, and this year targeted 23 times through four games this year. The question is the trading of Randy Moss, how is it going to affect the chemistry of this team down the stretch? From a talent standpoint, yes. They are Patriots today, a less talented team than they were yesterday. Nobody's going to deny that at all. That is not the point. As the same as it was when Manny left and was traded by the Red Sox to the Dodgers when we got Jason Bay. The Red Sox got Jason Bay. You know, they were a less talented team. However, they still won. Jason Bay proved to do pretty well. What is going to be the domino effect of Randy Moss being traded? How is it going to affect the offense? Does that mean more double teaming, obviously, for Wes Welker or others? Can Brandon Tate handle being the deep threat now for the Patriots? How much more pressure does this put this on some of the younger guys, you know, particularly the rookie tight ends, Hernandez and Gronkowski, although they've been phenomenal so far? But the overall bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is I'm going to sound like Don Corleone in The Godfather. I believe that then, and I believe that now. And I believe this, is that this is not something that Bill Belichick did lightly. I don't think this is something Bill Belichick did because he was emotionally, you know, pissed off. because he's not that kind of guy. He's not that kind of a coach. He is not going to do something like this unless he absolutely believes it is for the benefit of the team. Now, he might be wrong in the end when it comes down, when it's all said and done. It's a ballsy move and one that could backfire and blow up right in his face. I understand that. But I am not going to sit here today, unlike Borges and some others, who will sit here automatically and condemn the man for everything he does, you know, for most part, and been wrong about it for the last 10 years. I'm going to trust the man that I've got to know a little bit over the last 10 years, doing interviews with him right in this very room, from this very seat I'm sitting in. And that is, he's got a reason. You may not always agree with it, but you don't know all the facts, nor do I, about why this happened. But this was not some willy-nilly thing that was done at the last second or done at midnight. Like, or, you know, 8:30 last night, it was first reported by Fox, and then everybody picked up on the story, and you started to hear a little more tidbits of information. But this is not something that just happened last night. This is something that probably has been brewing, probably since the preseason. Now, you all know what Moss said after week one against Cincinnati. Those comments, it started with, you know, a charity softball game earlier in the summer, too. Some comments made there. So, the fact that it happened today, I'm wondering, with the bye week coming up, to be honest with you, this is just one theory, that this might have been their plan all along. Certainly they weren't going to do it. I mean, like I said to John in the crossover, I'm glad they're not playing the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. This is not, that's not the kind of defense you want to prepare with all this kind of hype and distraction stuff going on, as it was with Lawyer Malloy back in 2003. And it was a disastrous game for the Patriots out there. And remember, that came out of nowhere as well. And you all know what happened. You know, again, 15 weeks later, Patriots win 31-0, wanted to win the Super Bowl, and, you know, nobody ever hears about Lawyer Malloy again. There's just so many things to consider with this trade. I am not one of those who's going to sit here and say the Patriots aren't going to win any more games. They can't go deep in the playoffs. They can't win a Super Bowl. I think to have that kind of a dramatic reaction is, quite frankly, stupid. Now, those will have it already. Guys like Borges and guys like, you know, there are other guys. I mean, Chris Carter on ESPN. I mean, is it more of a joke when it's talking about Randy Moss than him? I mean, please. He shouldn't even be allowed to comment on the situation. You know, he's been Randy's caretaker since he got to the Vikings back in 1998. So whatever he says is irrelevant as far as this team. He's already come out and said they can't win. They're not a championship offense anymore. And I'm not saying, you know, as far as that goes, maybe he's right. He's not the only one that's going to say that. All I'm saying is you cannot come to that conclusion today at 4:18 on Wednesday, October 6th. You just can't. Because I've heard all this crap before. I heard it 7 years ago, 8 years ago with Lawyer Malloy. They lost that game, and I remember that just like it was yesterday. The next week, they had to play at Philadelphia, and nobody thought they were even going to show up on the field, and then they went to Philadelphia and kicked their ass. The rest is history. They lost to Washington, I think, in a wacky kind of a game the next week, and then they didn't lose again. So I just want to, please, everybody, try to look at everything from all sides, not just from Randy's a deep threat and we're going to miss him. Yeah, we all know that. But you have to look at what kind of effect that this guy could have been having in the locker room. There's a lot of youths in that locker room, a lot of youths in that locker room. You have to take all this stuff into consideration. And maybe Coach Belichick just reached his breaking point. We don't know all the little trials and tribulations that might have been happening in the locker room over the last 4 weeks, and maybe even dating back to training camp, last 8 weeks. We don't know. But I'm just telling you how I feel. I just think the coach would not have made this kind of a decision unless he absolutely thought it was the best thing for the team. It's not personal. It's a business decision. I'm not talking about business financially, because they weren't going to sign him to another 2-year, $9 million, $18 million deal. That wasn't going to happen. And anybody who thinks they would get more than a third-round pick for this guy is crazy, because nobody's going to give up a first or second-round pick for a 33-year-old, 34-year-old wide receiver. It ain't going to happen. I don't care how good he is. It's not going to happen. So just consider everything that possibly could have been happening here over the last, not just 24 hours, not just 24 days, but like for the last six to eight weeks. I know he started off okay, and that's fine. You know, he had his moments already this year. We all remember in Cincinnati, the one great one-handed catch. I'm not going to sit here and say he was dogging it Monday night, even though he had no catches, because part of the game plan was he attracted Vontae Davis and others, and one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and that allowed others to be open. Granted, special teams was huge on Monday night. Now, I'm not going to sit here and trash Randy Moss and say, you know, he was a bad seed here the entire time, whatever, because I had mixed emotions when I remember doing a show here on draft day when they got him, and I had mixed emotions then. And, you know, I was wrong about it. Now, I do think Randy Moss is doing now what he has done in the past for the Oakland Raiders and the Minnesota Vikings, which is kind of, you know, talk his way out of town. I just think, to me, there's no way that Bill Belichick makes this decision without considering every single possibility. And his overall conclusion, obviously, is it is for the benefit of the team. He feels they can perform better as a team, without Randy Moss. That's all I can tell you. That's just my feelings. And it's not to say that your opinion is wrong if you think it's a bonehead move, because quite frankly, you know, it's a ballsy move by the coach. Did we do this in week four? There's no question about it. And it could blow up in this entire organization's face. However, I heard the same stuff back in 2003 as well that went on to win the Super Bowl. Now, was Lawyer Mullet the same kind of impact player on defense as Randy Moss was on offense? No, I don't think so. But you'd be surprised how pretty close. So he was highly respected by everybody in that locker room. And I don't think he caused a lot of problems with coaches. That strictly was from a financial standpoint. This is not one of those cases here. Now, I think Randy could have been, if he really wanted to do, you know, I know he's not being thrown to as much this year. That's because the Patriots offense is much improved over last year with the addition of the tight ends, particularly Hernandez and Gronkowski. But he still could have, I think, suck it up. I mean, is that the right word? Suck it up and stick it out here. He was still got his contract next year, in my opinion. If he had, say, 10 touchdown passes and still Randy being Randy, drawing all those double teams, he's going to get paid for 2 years next year. It's just not going to be here. Yeah, exactly. So he could have gone that route as well, but that's not his style because he's a diva. You know, he's a little, you know, he can be a big baby at times. This is one of those times. A lot of wide receivers are divas. He's certainly one of them. So I think he could have done the right thing and stayed here and stuck it out. And even if his stats weren't as high, my opinion is the guy still has tremendous talent. He's still going to get his two-year deal. Maybe not three, but he's going to get two. It's just not going to be with this organization. But it's not going to happen. What's done is done. So they got rid of a lot of disruptive players on this team, guys like Adalis Thomas, because Bill Belichick did not want them influencing a lot of these younger guys. And I heard John Rook talking earlier about, you know, well, the future is now. Well, I mean, the future is every day. I mean, that's, with all due respect to my colleague, too broad of a statement. Oh, they haven't won this, they haven't won that, they haven't done anything since 2004. The team could have won, probably should have won two more Super Bowls. They had a 3-touchdown lead against the Colts with a very mediocre to below average wide receiving core in 2006 and lost because Eric Alexander's on the field at the end of the game.
The Colts suck.
You know, unfortunately, the whole team basically had the flu and the sixth string linebacker was on the field at the end of the game. And in 2007, we all know it took a miracle catch for them not to do that. So, I mean, it's just people have such short memories sometimes. And I do think a lot of it is that people have been spoiled with this football team. But this team is going to survive this move. I'm telling you. Believe it or not, I'm going to predict this. The Patriots will win more football games this year. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. Call me crazy. Let's get crazy in here today, okay? The Patriots are actually going to win football games this year. I still believe they're going to be the best team in the division when it's all said and done. And they'll be in the playoffs. We'll take it from there. We'll go week to week. Are there going to be some growing pains and some bumps and hiccups along the road? Probably.
I got to go with living on a prayer.
But that's all part of it. You know? What do you think? The Jets are going to cruise to 15-1? That's not going to happen. I mean, look at the league already. The balance, the parity in the league. The Kansas City Chiefs, for crying out loud, the only undefeated team left. There's a lot. All I'm saying is, folks, there's a lot of football left to be played. I know we like to be reactionary when it comes to the NFL, particularly our beloved Patriots, but you got to take it one game at a time. I hate to sound cliche, but you really got to take it one game at a time, and you are still, as I tried to tell you week in and week out for many years now, you don't know a lot about these teams until week 8, 9, or 10, somewhere around there. We're in week 4. And even with the loss of a guy like Moss, that rhymes.
Now we're into poetry.
Oh, yeah. I'm about to do sonnets next. We're going to have Shakespeare on the horizon. So you really have to give this team a lot more time before they're going to find their, quote-unquote, true identity. Moss or no Randy Moss, there's a long way to go. And guys like Borges, who like a few minutes ago woke up like it was Christmas morning for him, because Randy Moss got traded, and he can't wait to bash Belichick because he really has no other credibility left when it comes to talking about this football team except to bash Belichick for moves like this, even though everything he said about him has come back to bite him in the ass, and more so, for the last 10 years.
It's so ridiculous.
It is. You know, he'll be the typical contrarian overreaction type. And more than likely, it'll blow up in people like Borges' face and other people like that who think like him, who hate just because you know, he can't go to, he's still, and Borges, and believe when I tell you this, the man still hasn't gotten over the fact that Bledsoe got traded. Yeah. Just because he used to have dinner at the guy's house, you know, he still can't get over the fact that you know, the alleged best man lost, and he didn't like it. We found out the best man was Brady all along. However, we digress.
Everyone sucks but me.
All right, you know what? Enough of me talking. Let's get to you guys because you guys have a lot to say. I want to make the show about you, but I had so many thoughts, and I still have more about this to get off my chest. It's a very, very interesting subject, obviously. You should certainly make the case there's no definite right or wrong. All I'm saying is, guys and girls, there's a lot of gray area here that you and I don't know about because we are not in that locker room every day. And even the guys who cover the team who are in the locker room every day are not in the locker room every day to see they're only there for 10 minutes at a time, a couple days a week. So we shall see. In the great words of the fantastic rock group Asia, only time will tell. How about that? Like that, Kevin?
Dropping some knowledge on us.
All right, how about we go to the AT&T AT&T. Ace Ticket. I'm sorry about that. Ace Ticket Hotline. Ooh, bleep that out. Ace Ticket Hotline at the 508-543-7482. Here's Eldridge from North Carolina. Hi, Eldridge. You're first up on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Thanks for hanging in there.
Hey, man. I'm glad. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
All right. Listen to your show all the time. I'm streaming from North Carolina, but I got to disagree with you, man.
Okay.
I think it was a bonehead move, and I know you brought up our lawyer Malloy, but remember, we also got Rodney Harrison. That compliment that. You also had Ty Law and Tyrone Poole on the side's corners. So your secondary was set just about. You also had McGinnis. You had Bruschi. You had Johnson. And you had Vrabel. You had Seymour. You had Wilford. And you had Warren. So the defense was still intact. And I admit, Brady had the mediocre receivers, as you put it. But in 2006, he went back to playing because he had no defeat to throw to. You would have got Moss. Now, if you listen back to every man that's made by all his catches, his touchdown, he tribute Randy Moss for taking some defense, taking it, and leaving them open. You don't have that now. And now, there might have been some stuff in the locker room, Yeah, the man want to get paid. If you like, get your job, you want to get paid too, especially if you've been producing.
The man was getting paid. They gave him a three-year extension, Eldridge, for $27 million.
He wanted his contract. Like his
he knows he wasn't going to get. But don't you think he was going to get paid anyway, Eldridge? If he had just sucked it up, and even if he didn't have, he's a great player, Eldridge. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. He doesn't have to catch 20 touchdown passes a year to prove that he is a good player. He is going to get his money. He's going to get his money no matter where he goes.
But he felt like New England didn't want him.
Well, because he also felt that way in Oakland and in Minnesota. He pulled the same.
Oakland and Minnesota
pulled the same. Pulled the same stuff. He pulled the same stuff.
Just like we did. We quit throwing to him. You know, you got the new toys.
Hernandez. Whoa! Wait a second. When did they quit throwing? They threw more to him than they should have in the Jet game. That was the problem.
That was the Jet game.
Yeah.
You know.
Why, so what are you saying? So Brady should have forced more passes Monday night to him while he was double covered.
Well, you know what? They did that with, not Monday night against the Patriots, but they did that.
Eldridge, wasn't Randy, do you think Randy Moss did his job on Monday night?
I think if they gave him a little bit more playing time, it would have.
Eldridge, I think he did his job. Just because he didn't catch a lot of passes. Just because he did his job because he drew one of the best cornerbacks in the league on him all the time. He was double teamed most of the night. And allowed other people to get open. So I think I don't need to see him catch 5, 6, 10 catches a game and 3 touchdowns to know that he did his job.
Yeah, so, but he also want to catch. He's also a receiver. But remember, now you don't have that. Now you're going to have Rex Ryan and them Jet defense. You have the Ravens coming up. That's going to bone down, and it's going to be on Brady.
Well, we've seen it be on Brady before. They have enough weapons. Do you think the Patriots are not going to be able to score some points, I mean, against some other teams? I mean, they have some pretty good weapons still on this football team. Now, could it have a chain reaction? Could they start doubling Welker, and Tate is not the deep threat maybe that Bill Belichick might think he is, and will affect the younger guys on the team, Gronkowski and Hernandez, having a lot more pressure on them? Absolutely it could. But we don't know yet. All I'm saying is let's get some people some time here. Let's give the team some time. John in Ithaca sends it to us on webradiopatriots.com. Says, I can understand if the Pats felt trapped and just needed to get rid of a bad apple before it spoiled the bunch. I definitely see some similarities here to the Manny Ramirez situation, like you said. When a player gets to be too much of a distraction, what else can you do to stifle it? But to play devil's advocate here, how much is Bill O'Brien to blame? How much is the play calling a real part of the problem? I mean, is there any way to see some sense to Moss's complaints, or are we just going to label him a disgruntled problem player? How well have the Pats utilized Moss this year and really ever since 2007? Well, let's just stop right there, and I'll finish your email. Okay, last year he had, 14 or 15 touchdown catches? I think he was second in the league last year in touchdown catches. So that your argument doesn't really hold water right there as far as him using him. Year before was no Brady. And at the end, Matt Castle was hitting Moss. I mean, it was pretty good. The last 6 games, the Patriots were 5-1 at the end of those.
And I think Castle's first touchdown pass when Brady went out in that game was to Moss.
Yeah, it was.
On a back line crossing. Right?
Yes, I believe you're correct. So, I don't want to hear about, you know, he's not being utilized properly. I'm not saying that acting out and having open confrontations ever justified on a team like the Pats, but can you really blame him? How many games can he go out there, a future Hall of Famer, and just run routes and take coverage away from others? Should the Pats have tried to work in more plays designed for Moss? If we bring in Vincent Jackson, and I'm with you that this seems unlikely, and I believe it's unlikely, we'll ask him to do the same sort of thing as Moss ended up doing. Wait a second. One game, Randy Moss doesn't have a catch. One game. And to me, for the most part, besides a couple of missed blocking assignments, which I clearly think he did miss a couple in that game, in the Miami game, but to me, did his job. I didn't see him really dogging it. I thought he tried to make that catch in the end zone. The one time it was thrown to him and he didn't catch it. All right. It just usually, you know, he catches plays like that, but he didn't. All right. Fine. He's made some other spectacular catches. But then when you ask the question, how many games can he go out there, a future Hall of Famer, and just run routes and take coverage away from others? I'll tell you how many. 15, if that's what it takes to win a Super Bowl. Who cares? That's not taking away from Randy Moss's greatness, in my opinion. And probably, maybe it does in his mind because he's a diva wide receiver like a lot of them are. I thought he was better than that. I thought he had a little more character than that. I thought Randy would say, you know what? I'll show him. I can still be great without having a lot of catches. Didn't you think that? I thought the guy maybe was made of that. I thought being here, maybe some of that would be, he'd soak it up like a sponge. Much like my pal Tom Brady did in 2006. He's not going to sit there and pout. Was he upset that they didn't have a Deion Branch? Yeah, he was upset. All right? But he didn't throw the season away.
Hell no.
They went to the damn AFC Championship and should have won it. You're up 3 touchdowns in that game and lost in the last 35 seconds. What if Brady had acted like Randy Moss back in 2006 with Rashay Caldwell as one of his premier wide receivers? And you know, he did have a great catch in the San Diego playoff game. So don't give me this stuff about Randy Moss is sulking and pouting because he's not getting the ball. I know he is. But he should have been professional enough and man enough to say, you know what? I'm going to be me. I can still be Randy and not have to make 20 touchdown catches a day or a year and still make a significant impact on this team. That's what I thought this guy had turned into. That's what I thought he was about.
And like you said, Pete, he was still going to make a significant check at the end
of the year. Of course he is. He's going to make a check at the end of the season. Absolutely crazy to me that he's going to sit there and blame the Patriots for his lack of not being able to get paid at the end of the year because they didn't get him throwing the ball to him. I mean, stop with that stuff. Stop it.
And now from a competitive standpoint, we'll see once Favre's done this year how he likes Sage Rosenfelds and Tavares Jackson.
Yeah, and we shall see. Let's take a break, quick one, because lots of emails and lots of before I take a break, let me get CJ from Indy is on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. Hey, CJ.
Hey, hey, Pete. On the Randy Moss, I know what you're talking about. This is like Randy Moss, like he just wasn't. I could see during his performance, he wasn't really playing the same. But on the Miami, that was his job, attracting the DBs back mm-hmm. there. So, Wes Welker and Aaron Hernandez to get open. And that was a good job. But, Randy Moss, they had to get rid of him. I could see why Bill Belichick did it. I think he didn't want to, but Randy wanted to go more than anything. That's what I think.
Well, we know now that he's been asking for a trade as far as public we know from week one. It probably was happening during the preseason, during training camp. But we know for a fact he's asked for a trade for week one. Now, he played pretty well. I thought he played pretty well for all four games. I mean, it's because he didn't have a catch. I mean, like I said, maybe he thinks he's being disrespected because he didn't have a catch. You see, I have more respect. I would have had so much more respect for him if he just came out and said, you know what? I did my job today. I was double teamed. We won the game. Other receivers got to be open because I'm so great that. If he said, you know what, I'm so great, I am allowing my other receivers to catch balls so we can win a football game. Isn't all that should matter?
Yeah, and instead he wanna act like a diva. That's upsetting me. As a Patriot fan, you're just supposed to go out there and just play the game.
Let me ask you a very difficult question. How are you a Patriot fan in Indy?
I got a lot of people ask me that, and then I got my Facebook blowing up talking about the Randy Moss. I hate the Colts, to be honest with you. I really do.
Wow. Wow. So you walk around downtown Indianapolis with your Patriots shirt on.
The Colts suck.
And they let you get away with it?
Yeah. A couple years ago, Reggie Wayne was doing autographs in a downtown mall.
Mm-hmm.
And, my brother, he had a Reggie Wayne poster, I walked up there with my brother with a Patriot jersey on.
Oh, so your brother's a Colts fan and you're a Patriot fan. How did that happen?
Yep. I love Tom Brady.
Obviously, you got the better of the gene pool, right?
Yeah.
All right, CJ. Thanks for the call. Call back next week. Appreciate it. Wow, a Pats fan in Indy. Bye. Thanks a lot. All right. Again, the Patriots, the Ace Ticket Hotline here, 508-543-7482. You can email us certainly at webradio@patriots.com. Quick break. Then we're going to come right back and take more of your phone calls, and we're going to check in as well with Yahoo Sports Senior NFL Editor Jason Cole and more of your emails, too, all happening on the Pete Shepherd Show on patriots.com.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Braves!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
All right, back here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And, of course, you can email me, webradio@patriots.com. Back to your phone calls and more of your emails in just a couple of minutes. But first, we're going to check in with Yahoo Sports Senior NFL Editor Jason Cole joining me here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Hi, Jason. How are you? Thanks for taking some time out today.
No problem. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Now, let me just ask you from an outside of New Englander's opinion, your whole thoughts on what happened and what has transpired here over the last 24 hours.
Well, I mean, look, you got to have some big guts is the euphemism
mm-hmm.
I will use to make the deal. You know, really believe in what you're doing and have a real understanding of the dynamics of your locker room. And now, that said, I know that, you know, look, Bill Belichick doesn't do anything without thinking about it and taking in every little bit of this. And from my understanding of the sort of distance, now I think he knows that, you know, look, Moss wants a new contract. He's putting that desire for a new contract ahead of all other considerations. I think that Belichick sees that Moss is not going to be getting the ball as much as he would probably like, given the way that the X's and O's are going, the way that the Patriots are running their offense right now with the two tight ends on almost every play, using Aaron Hernandez a lot, and with the development of Brandon Tate. So if you take that into account, I think that Moss realizes his numbers are going to be down. Belichick knows the numbers are going to be down. So if Moss is looking at this saying, I got to hit free agency and I got to have a big year, it's not going to happen, which makes him going to make him angrier and angrier and angrier as the season goes along for free agency. And that's not going to play well in a locker room, you know, especially on a team where Belichick was, they got to all be pulling the same direction. No, so as illogical as it is to trade a great talent, I probably see where Belichick's coming from.
Well, I'm with you as far as why. I think there's more to it than just Randy Moss's numbers, though. I think, I mean, we're reading today about his little confrontation with Bill O'Brien. But I got to tell you this, though, Jason, is that here's why I'm really disappointed in Moss, because he's such a great player. He's going to be a deep threat for the next at least couple of years. Mm-hmm. Even to me, and I think for most people in the NFL, there are a lot of great coaches and a lot of great players out there. Some good front office organizations. Not a lot, but there's a few of them out there. They understand the type of situation Randy Moss is in. I don't think Randy needed to catch 20 touchdown passes this year to get paid for the next 2 years. That's where I get angry at him. If he pulled off what he did just because he didn't catch a ball on Monday night, does not mean he was not doing his job. To me, quite frankly, it was just the opposite. He was doing his job. He was double-teamed most of the night with Vontae Davis, particularly all over him, one of the best young corners in the league, allowing other people to catch balls. So he should know better to me. He should know better at this stage in his career. I thought he was going to be a little more professional. He should know better that he is going to get his money. They know out there the kind of offensive system he is in right now, the type of talent that is around him, and he should understand that he does not need to catch 20 touchdowns or 23 like he did in 07, record-breaking year, to get paid.
Well, I don't disagree with any of that, but
I know the wide receiver diva mentality. I understand. I believe you.
But wide receiver Randy Moss mentality. Do whatever you want. I mean, this is who he is, and you know we can all disagree with the lack of logic and lack of understanding, and you know being selfless and all those other things. But there's a reason why this guy's been traded three times. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, you know, I mean, he's returning to his original team.
Yes.
But he's on his fourth stop. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a reason for that. And, you know, I used to cover the NBA. And, mm-hmm. you know, I remember when coaches would say, you know, there's these guys that get moved around the league all the time in the NBA. Just go from team to team to team. They end up playing for six, seven teams. And the coaches come out and they go, you know, there's a reason why that happened. Because people like them, and the people have a hard time dealing with them, and they're selfish guys. So, you know, we can say all we want about how it's illogical for Randy Moss to act this way and be upset and to complain when he doesn't get a pass thrown his way. But the fact of the matter is, that's how Randy Moss reacts.
What do you think the trickle-down effect now is going to be? Besides, I mean, we know the obvious. I mean, Welker could be double-teamed. You know, the question is, will they have – can Tate be the deep threat that maybe they think he is? No one's going to be Randy Moss, obviously. But can this team still win a lot of football games and go deep in the playoffs without Randy Moss?
Well, I think they've proved in the past that they've been able to go deep in the playoffs without Randy Moss. Now, they had a better defense at that time that was interchangeable, could do a lot of different things. And this team is – you know, slowly evolving defensively. You know, we saw some better things on Monday, but certainly the first three games were not, you know, great indicators of what they can be, you know, defensively, or they're indicators that maybe they can't be great defensively, whatever you want to say. I mean, I think their defense is going to be better as the season goes along, as those guys get more disciplined in what they're trying to do. And I think that the offense is going to be all right. The interesting thing that I love watching about the Patriots is with the draft of the two tight ends, Gronkowski mm-hmm. and Hernandez, they've really developed a way where they can leave two tight ends on the field all the time, basically. I think that I counted it on Monday night. Mm-hmm. Out of their first 53 plays when the game was still kind of in question, they had only, you know, eight times where they didn't have at least two of those guys, if not three, and throw Crumpler on there, on the field, which means, and if, for people who don't really get what that means, you know, Hernandez is a good enough athlete that you can, you know, put him in the slot. You can split him out wide. You can play your three receiver sets, even your four receiver sets mm-hmm. with him, or you can pack it in and you can go double tights and run a power offensive game just depending on what you see on the other side of the ball, on how teams are putting personnel out there or lining up against you, you can mix and match and do anything because they have a dynamic rookie in Hernandez who can do a lot of different things. And also Gronkowski's a classic blocking young tight end who can also catch a little bit. Not quite like Hernandez, but can catch a little bit.
Yep, and you've also got to throw in Algie Crumple as well, who's also a tremendous blocker, and he can still catch the ball a little bit. And we've seen all three of them out there at many times this year thus far, though Algie's been more of a blocker than anything else. But I couldn't agree with you more. It's very unique in this day and age. I mean, we saw last week, not the Miami game, but I believe in the Jet game, was a tight end end around by the Patriots. Now, I mean, that's something that you haven't seen on this organization unless you play Madden on a video game. You know, you haven't seen that in a long time. It was refreshing, but I couldn't agree. I think this Hernandez kid, again, small sampling, only four games, but I think he's got the makings of being a possible, you know, one of the elite tight ends eventually in this league. I'm hoping, because he's got tremendous upside.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's ever going to be a great blocker because he's kind of a slightly built guy. But, like, who cares? I mean, the bottom line is you can put him lined up on the weak side of a formation and have him block enough or just, look, get in the way. And he's going to be a competitive kid. I mean, I live in Gainesville, Florida. I've seen the kid play a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a competitive kid and he's a good athlete. So you can do a lot of things with him. And I think that what I've always admired about Belichick is he's usually ahead of the curve in terms of where the league is going. He sees the trend develop. And we saw this after the 06 season where he said, look, I can't throw the ball well enough, but it's becoming a 7-on-7 league. And what did he do? He went out and got Welker. He got Moss. He got Gaffney. He went out and got Stallworth. And they played, you know, wide open football in 07. This year, he's recognized the real matchup problem for so many teams is the tight end. Because you either got to put an extra linebacker, you got to put an extra safety, and you create some kind of matchup problem. That's where he goes out and gets Gronkowski and Hernandez and creates this ability to either power run by lining up double tights, because he knows he doesn't have a great blocking offensive line for the run game, but if he helps them out, they can be good. Or he can play wide open with Brady. Now, again, you know, Moss is a guy who stirs the drink. Nobody's not saying that. Mm-hmm. But I think that they found a point in time where they can live, you know, they can live without him. Will they succeed without him? That's a big question.
Well, can the Minnesota Vikings succeed with Randy Moss? Look, going to, you know, what their reaction is. Brett Favre, I'm sure, is a very happy camper today. Not that he's, you know, shy throwing the ball at all. But how do you see Randy fitting in with the chemistry of this Minnesota Viking team?
Well, and like, he gives them an elite deep threat, all right? They don't have to try and fake it with Bernard Berrien anymore. They don't have force, you know, Percy Harvin, who's not really that kind of guy, to try and do the job. And
he's more of a Welker type, Percy, right? He's more of a Welker type. Not like Welker, but he's more, if you had to make
he's
it
an elite athlete.
Yeah, exactly.
He's an elite athlete who, you know, you give him on end rounds, you hand him the ball straight out of the backfield, you throw him short passes, you turn, you know, he gets away from defenders underneath. But he's not, you know, he was not trained at Florida, and he's not trained yet as a classic over-the-top kind of receiver. That's just not what he does. And they're missing Sidney Rice really badly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got to have that guy. So Moss steps in right there, does whatever Sidney Rice did, and now they don't have to worry about whether Sidney Rice is healthy coming back. And furthermore, they don't have to worry about what is going on in Sidney Rice's head as he counts down to more toward maybe being a free agent because, you know, his contract is up at the end of the year. And they're a little bit worried and they're a little concerned of how's this guy going to play? Is he going to really push himself in the second half of the season? You know, if his contract's about to run out. And so, look, Moss steps into that role. It's going to be a fine fit. And a lot of people look, you know, Belichick is going to get second-guessed a lot on this trade by a lot of people, especially if Moss puts up big numbers. But I just would say to those people, he might not put up those kind of numbers if he had stayed in New England. And if he doesn't, that's where he'd be unhappy. And again, I know what your logic is about, you know, he should, you know, give up himself up and all of those things. That's just not going to happen. That's not in his DNA.
Oh, no, you're right. And I believe me, I get that. And I understand his thinking. I certainly, I just thought maybe at this point, at 33 years old, maybe.
Without a title.
There was
Without a title, he would have maybe said, you know, let me grind it out for a year and do the best I can with a team that has a chance. I mean, I'm not sure they're one of the best five teams in the league right now, but they're not far away either because nobody's great this year.
Nobody is really walking away. Like I've said for a year, I don't think you know what teams are going to be in the Elite Four or Five until like eight, nine, or ten. I mean, people go crazy and overreact so unbelievable to me in the NFL, not just media, but fans alike, on a week-to-week basis. Talk to me about where the identity of any team is in the NFL around week nine or ten. We'll have a much better idea.
Absolutely true. And I think in this year, because of how many teams have significant flaws, you might even have to push that into week 11 or 12 and then kind of see how it kind of rolls out. I mean, this is going to be a really interesting year. But, you know, look, the Patriots have a chance, you know, if they stay healthy and do all these other things. They would have had a better chance with Moss. There's no question about that. But maybe not with Moss if his head's not on straight.
Well, it certainly will be interesting.
That's where I think Bill's at.
It's going to be interesting. Was it Monday night or Sunday night? The Jets and
Monday night.
That is going to be and then of course everybody now is going to be circling Halloween night here in Foxborough for Randy Moss's return to play the Patriots. That's going to be that'll be an event.
I think you might get a few people out for that one. Just a few.
Jason Cole of Yahoo Sports, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it, and hope to have you back on soon.
No problem. Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. That is Jason Cole, Yahoo Sports Senior NFL Editor, joining me here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. The phone number here is 508-543-7482. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Also, you can email us at webradio@patriots.com. Couple of emails. This is from, who is this from? JM. Hi, guys. I'm a huge UK Pats fan since the Steve Grogan, Stanley Morgan days. I just wanted to remind some fans what the Pats were like before Moss and Welker arrived. This team should go back to dink and dunk plays, throwing to 8 to 10 players, and totally agree that they need a deep threat like a Deion Branch and David Patton used to be. I also believe that we should have kept Heath Evans at halfback. Well, he was a fullback, actually, who was good at catching the ball in the backfield. Well, I'm not sure about that. And they did have some pretty decent years in the Bledsoe era.
Is Sam Gash still around?
Sam Gash is not still around. Oh, my goodness. Whoops. I'm also taking emails, by the way, on Facebook, your messages. So, and don't send me, those of you who are my friends, don't send me private messages, but post them on my wall because it's a pain in the ass, to be honest with you, to hit the private message thing. So if you want something read, post it on my wall, and we'll figure it out from there. Donald says, Pete, our season might be over. ... We have the worst D. ... Then this move. So doesn't want another championship, huh? Then on top, we got a third freaking rounder. That sucks. You know what? Go after Jackson. Use Mankins for trade bait. Something has to happen. Unacceptable Pats front office. Well, obviously, Donald, I don't think you heard everything I said in the first half hour of the show. It's not just quite as simple as Randy Moss, we've had enough, and off he goes. There's a lot to consider here, a lot that you don't know, a lot that I don't know. And I will say again for the umpteenth time today already is that this had to be one of the top two or three most difficult decisions for Bill Belichick to make. It was not based on emotion. It was not some willy-nilly thing. It was not based on one little incident with Coach O'Brien. If indeed it did happen in Miami during halftime of the when it was 7-6 Miami at halftime, the game the Patriots went on to win by 27 points. So there's a lot here. There's a lot here that remains to be seen. We have to gather a little more information. I can tell you it was a very difficult situation. A very difficult situation for Coach Belichick. Not saying it's 100% right. I'm sure as hell I'm not saying it's 100% wrong. We don't know. We simply don't know. But he feels that he did it for the good of the team, and the team in the long run, and I'm including this year as being the long run, will be better off without him. That's all we can say. Back to the emails here on webradio at patriots.com. Let's see. What's this? Kevin says, so you blew me very funny. Geez, I come on the air with an alt. Oh, that must be, I don't know if it's me. This guy didn't call my show. Kevin called John. He's mad at John Rook, I think.
Probably. Who isn't?
Oh, he's married. It's Kevin. Oh, no, Matthew. Sorry, Matthew.
We have this Matthew, this guy, Bad Kevin that'll write in every once in a while.
Yeah, I think Bad Kevin's upset. But not at me. He's upset at Rook. But I don't care about that. Rook's upset because Texas got blown out again by Oklahoma. Can we just, Randy says.
Sucky.
This is from the Fontaines. Can we just accept the fact that Randy Moss loves to catch the ball, and if he's not involved catching the ball for a couple touchdowns, he feels his value is not as great to the team. Perhaps he's always trying to improve how good he is, and perhaps that is what makes him a Hall of Fame wide receiver. I, for one, will miss him, and I wish him the best, unless, of course, we meet him in the Super Bowl. Well, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I think a lot of people around here will wish Randy Moss the best. Actually, no, I know how everybody is around here. It's all, forget it. Now, he's the enemy now. They're going to want him to go out and get hurt probably against the Jets. No, you want him to score about 5 touchdowns against the Jets. That's what you want. Now, whether that happens, that remains to be seen. All right, quick break again, Kev, all right? Top of the hour, we're going to come back and reset. It's the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. The phone number on Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. I also have my Facebook page open if that's easier for you. Post it on my wall. Don't send me private messages. Enough time to go through all the private messages, like thousands of click up on. You know, I appreciate the support, but just post something to the wall. It's much easier for me to read. And when we come back to the Pete Shepherd Show, right back to your emails and phone calls. No more guests. I just want to hear from you guys. What do you think? Randy Moss headed to Minnesota for a 3rd-round pick. We're talking about it here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Back in a few.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Who will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Back here on the Pete Shepherd Show at Patriots.com. I don't get the open again, like that the nice thing when Tom says, I love Pete, that kind of thing.
I'll have to look for it.
You played it 55 minutes ago.
Oh, you're opening?
Yeah.
Okay, I can play that.
Oh, I thought that's the way we did it around here.
Okay. I'm popping my cherry with you here.
That's my Randy Moss diva moment. How dare you not play my open?
I figured you'd like this song.
I do. You like this 80s stuff? 867-5309. I bet you. How many times did you call that number, Kevin?
Plenty of times. I want a good time.
Want a good time? And what happened on the other end of the phone? Anybody?
I don't think that's suitable for the air, Pete.
Oh, I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's not. Listen to this knucklehead. Todd says, Adelis Thomas, Lawrence Maroney, Randy Moss, this is a race issue. You idiot. Please. That's the best you can come up with is that?
I wish that guy would call in so I could blow him up.
I wonder if he's just being funny or really believes it. That's just absolutely stupid. All right, let's get back to the AT&T. Am I going to do that again? I'm going to kill myself. Honest to God, I'm sorry about that. The Ace Ticket Hotline. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. We love Ace Ticket. The Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. Tom's in California. Hi, Tom. You're up next on the Pete Shepard Show. Tom?
How you doing, Pete?
Good. What's up, man?
It's Don, by the way, Kevin.
My bad. I couldn't understand.
Oh, I'm sorry. He wrote Tom. Sorry. But sorry, Kevin.
So. How you doing? So I just got a question. So we drafted Taylor Price.
Yep.
Do you think Taylor Price will be the answer in years to come?
Well, I mean,
or is it just dink and dunk, Hernandez, Welker, Hernandez with a big bomb?
No, I think I don't know what the future, what Price's future is going to be with this team. From game to game, I don't know if anybody's going to know for sure. All I know is that the best players will be on the field. Now, I'm pretty sure of that the best players will be on the field. And if he's one of the best players, you know, he'll have his opportunity to produce with this team. Now, that could be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or 2 years. I don't know. Sometimes it takes that long. I know you just don't know. I can't make that kind of. I wish I had my crystal ball, my Taylor Price crystal ball, but I don't. I mean, I hope he does well. You know, I hope he does well, but you know, we'll see. You know, a lot of these guys. I mean, I remember a lot of rookies. I swear, I know when Asante Samuel got drafted, I remember the crap that Asante Samuel would take around here for the first couple years or the first year and a half, and it'd be like, just people, relax. I mean, the guy's only been here a year and a half. That's why you got to give. I mean, McCourty's done pretty well, you know, so far. And, you know, people expect, you know, Deion Sanders to be on the field with some of these defensive backs. It's going to take some time for the D to develop. And the same thing as some of the offensive guys.
Yeah.
But go ahead. What else you got, Kevin? So I don't know. I hope you're right. I don't care what they do or who they use as long as they win games. I don't care how sexy it looks on the field. Whatever it takes, I think some games you'll see a lot of dink and dunk and some games you won't.
Yeah.
Depends what the defense gives you.
I just got one more question
for
you, Pete, and I'll let you continue.
Yeah,
sir,
that's all right.
Do you think within the trade negotiations that Bill maybe tried to get Allen or one of the Williams brothers in the trade?
No. Nope. I don't. I don't think it had anything to do with it. I think I'm sure he would have liked a first or second round pick, but like I said, there is nobody on the planet that's going to give up a first or second round pick for a 33-year-old wide receiver, even as good as Randy Moss. 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. That's how you can reach me here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Your thoughts on this whole Randy Moss situation. And how you think it's going to affect the team. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. And I do have my Facebook page open if you want to send me a message, post something to my wall. Brian says, where's Family Feud? We're not playing the feud on Facebook right now. Dun-dun-dun. So please, if you want to, just post something to my wall. Don't do the
whatever you do. Don't send Pete a message. That's the message we're trying to get across here.
Oh no! What do you mean?
Don't send you a private message.
Oh yeah, don't send me a private message. Yeah, just post it on my wall. So for all to see, that's fine. Because I know a lot of you have a lot to say. So again, I will talk about Randy Moss. What's the effect on this? I mean, is it possible? We talked about Lawyer Malloy, and again, this is not the same. It's a little bit different, but not too much different. Will it have the same effect? Is it possible? Now, the Patriots have a bye week this week. Like I said, I think the best thing that could have happened is they do have a bye week this week. And I'm wondering if they had a bye week next week. And if they were playing say they're playing Baltimore this week, I'm wondering if the Patriots would have made this move this week or waited another week. I'm wondering. But anyway, it all worked out. I just think they had had enough. Whatever was going on in that locker room, I think they had had enough. I think it's a very, very similar situation to the Manny Ramirez. Maybe not quite as severe as it was what Terry Francona had to go through. And believe me, it was a lot to put up with that guy every day for as talented as he was. You know, Terry went through hell with that guy. It was ridiculous. And I'm not sure any other manager in the league would have put up with it. But he did. But I will reiterate again that Bill Belichick, I'm sure this is one of his toughest decisions he's ever had to make with this team. And I firmly believe that he did do it because he believes it's for the best and for the good of the team. And that's basically, like I said, this was not out of spite, malice, or emotion. He's looking at it through every possible angle before he made this decision. All right, let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Eric is in California. Hey, Eric. Eric? Oh, who are we calling?
Must have lost him.
Must have lost him. Well, Eric, call back if you can. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-543-7482. So I talked about, you know, they had the Ron Borges. This is like his Christmas. You know, I read the article. You get a good chuckle out of it. It's kind of funny. He had it up there like instantaneously on BostonHerald.com. It's pretty funny. Chris Carter, you know, his pathetic comments about the Patriots. And, of course, like I said, he's been Randy Moss's caretaker since 1998. So he's not going to say anything objective. I think I'm trying to be as objective as I can here, which is, could this whole thing come back to blow up in their face? Absolutely it could. There's no question about it. And I think Bill Belichick understands that as well. It is a huge gamble. This is a ballsy move, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's a ballsy move at this point in the season. Is the team better off right now than they were yesterday? I don't know. Are they less talented than they were yesterday? Yes. Is the team better off today than they were yesterday? That remains to be seen. See, that's the question. I don't think you can lump in the two together. I know a lot of people like to try to do that, but you really can't. Christopher on Facebook says, do you think that the Patriots will see if they can get Deion Branch? No, I do not. I do not think that will happen. I do not think that will happen. And it's going to be interesting to hear from the players later on this. When they come back to practice, they come back tomorrow. They're off for a couple of days. They come back tomorrow, so they'll be available. You know, all my colleagues here at PFW, of course, around the local radio and TV stations. You'll hear a lot of quotes and a lot of comments. And my guess is probably everybody will say the politically correct thing, which is they'll miss him. He was a good teammate overall, which is what you heard for the most part. But we also know that there were some players in that locker room that were pretty disgruntled about him and what he had become the last few weeks.
If there were guys upset enough to come out and tell Mike Reese about that little altercation the other night, there were definitely people against him.
Yeah. So I think we're going to be hearing a little bit more. More of the story will start to come to fruition as the week goes on. And that's why I think overall, you certainly have the right to question Bill Belichick. No question about it. And you can say this was a bonehead move and all that stuff, but a lot of people, I think, including myself, need to wait to hear more about what happened here in this situation. I can just tell you from what I've heard, and because I know the man a little bit, and I know what he's about, and I know he doesn't make rash decisions. I know he has a lot of thoughtful discourse. It's not about emotion. It's not personal. It's about what is always best for the team. That doesn't mean he's right 100% of the time, but he's right a lot of the time. He's right a lot of the time. And this situation remains to be seen. Only time will tell, as I said earlier. Only time will tell. They're off this week. They have Baltimore, a very good defensive team next week coming back. I think Ed Reed's coming back. Is Ed Reed coming back for that game?
No, I think
he's out for a while longer.
I thought isn't it the PUP, the 6 week list that
he's on? But isn't that?
I think
Baltimore's playing this week, aren't they?
I'm not sure.
I'd have to look it up.
They must be playing this week.
That'd be week six, right? Next, when they play the Patriots, that'd be week six.
But aren't they out for 6 weeks though? And then the seventh week. I'm not sure how it works. I think it's the seventh.
Well, I hope he's not here for that game.
Me too.
I hope he misses it.
Me too.
He's an unbelievable player.
Yeah, the Patriots have a murderer's row stretch coming up here in the next five games.
Yeah, they do. I mean, culminating with the October 31st game now on Halloween, 4:15 here at Gillette, and that can't be. They can't move that game to 8:15.
It's like
the week after that.
It's too early for the Flex.
Yeah, it's too after. So it's going to be a 4:15 game here on Halloween.
Let's not forget that. Pete, the week before they play that game, they're in San Diego.
In San Diego.
Which is brutal.
It's going to be it's a tough game. Although the way the Chargers have been playing, I mean, they know they're rebounding against Arizona, but they also lost to Seattle. And they're 2-2. I mean, they haven't looked spectacular this year. No team has.
But this stretch with, you know, the Ravens, Chargers, and Vikings, you got to think back a little bit to find a three-game stretch that's been this demanding.
Yeah, if you go back, I mean, they've had three-game stretches tough. They've had three straight road games before.
Yeah, and if you want to stretch it out even more, you know, the at Miami game that we just played, and then the Jets game. I mean, if you want to make it a five-game stretch, that's pretty tough.
So far, overall, for the most part, I like what I'm seeing. I mean, I know there's holes in the defense. We all know that. This is a developing defense. It's going to take a while. As I always say, week 9 or 10, talk to me then as far as the true identity of a team. That's why you can't panic over this Randy Moss move. You just can't. You can't go flat out being crazy contrarian like the Borges types today, and all of a sudden the team's just going to suck. Because a bunch of those guys like him have done it before, and they've all come back to eat a ton of crow. All of them. Can't tell you how many times it's happened over the years. It's ridiculous. Yeah, exactly. So, the fact that guys like him think they're going to suck the rest of the year, you know what? Kind of warms the cockles of my heart, to be honest with you.
The Cockle Gobbler.
That's one of my personal favorites.
Let's head back now to the emails at webradio@patriots.com. Here's a Moss from Mexico. Oh, it's actually from Jose about Moss. He's commenting from Mexico about Randy Moss. Jose says, "Hi, Pete. I don't understand why all the fans are crying for Moss's departure. Why make for the team? The team won three Super Bowls without him. I like the idea. If this makes problems, let's let it go and see with the young people that we have on the team. I have a lot of confidence in the team, not in one person special. Thanks." Oh, Vicente sent that one. Vicente, sorry about that. Thank you. We're big in Pete Shepherd Show, huge in Mexico. Been there a few times. Been to Playa, been to Cabo.
You're a legend in Mexico, Pete.
I'll tell you what. The Wiggly Marlin and Cabo, never be the same. Here I was there a few years ago. One of the great all-time bars I've ever been to. Fantastic. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, and Vicente's, you know, hit on a very good point here, which is what I was talking about. Bill Belichick made this decision for the team. This is not an individual decision. This is a team decision. That's why it was made. Sure, there are lots of questions. There's no black and white answer for it. I'm just telling you what I think, how the man is thinking here. Okay? It's not some willy-nilly thing that he just, you know, picked out of the air and decided to do it today because he was pissed off at Moss for talking trash to Bill O'Brien. That's not the reason why he did this.
And bam, I got it.
Exactly. That might have been the straw that broke the camel's back, as I said earlier, but certainly is not the reason. So we can talk about what's the effect this is going to have on the team. I'm sure there are those out there who say they'll never be able to win another game again in this century or the next.
Can Brandon be in another galaxy somewhere?
Exactly.
There's no way that would happen.
Far, far away. Can Brandon Tate be the guy to replace Moss? Somewhat. No one's going to replace Moss, but can he be that deep threat? What about the pressure to the younger guys on this team about having to fill up, you know, now that greater responsibility? However, on the flip side of that, are they relieved that Moss isn't here anymore? Was it becoming a bad influence in that locker room? Lots to talk about. Teddy Bruschi today on ESPN, just to summarize what he said today, in case you missed it. Comments after about Randy Moss, who was his teammate for a couple of years, by the way.
I love Teddy Bruschi. I love
him. So Teddy brought up, you know, the comments after the Cincy game, which we all know. When he was around him, called him a great teammate, like so many of others have. He also said that he believes players and some coaches are very frustrated with Moss, which you can believe that as well. Some players are refreshed that Moss isn't here, relieved. You know, a lot of young, scrappy, impressionable kids, Teddy says. But doesn't take away from the fact that Moss is still a big, deep threat. What remains to be seen is, can this team win a championship without Randy Moss on it, the way the offense is constructed right now? My answer is, I don't know. I know they have a great coach and a great quarterback, which is half the battle right there. And yes, defenses win championships and all that stuff, and yeah. But you still need a good offense. You need a balance. And this defense, you know, I believe, will continue to improve as the season goes on. Remains to be seen if it will or not. But so far, I like some of the things I've seen. Not everything. A lot of things I don't like. I didn't like a lot of the tackling in the Buffalo game, particularly two weeks ago. But I thought they did a much better job in the Miami game. Now, if you looked at the net yardage again, yeah, Henny had some, you know, yards, but that was, I mean, the game was way out of hand.
It's all between the 20s, Pete.
Well, it's all between the 20s, but it hasn't been that way. You know, they've been letting up the Buffalo game was some sick,
yeah,
piss poor tackling that happened in that game. But I thought they corrected a lot of that. And by the way, the little wildcat thing they're doing in Miami now that a lot of teams have copied, that's passé. Passé. That stuff is dead. At least the Patriots have snuffed it out now. I believe that's three straight games. They really have not fallen for it at all. They got away with it once in, 3 years ago or 2 years ago, whenever it was, but not in the three games since. And that opening time in Foxborough, they got away with it. Since then, not very much. And I'll be honest with you, most of the league has caught up to it.
They went to it, Pete, on a 3rd and 6 the other
they
night.
Did.
And they
stupid.
Got stuffed.
Stupid. It was stupid.
And
it was
then
a
you
horrible,
didn't see it. It was one of the worst play calls I've ever seen.
Horrible call by Sperano, and he made a couple
on
of bad
third
calls.
And six.
He made a couple. He did very, if you remember the, Kev, the last week against the Jets on Sunday night, he did the same thing. I thought he cost him the game. Henny was picking him apart, and all of a sudden Sperano wants to, you know, run the Wildcat all the time.
Completely agree.
Lou says, Pete, I am in the minority. I believe that Randy Moss was a bit overrated, just as it pertains to this year. He has done little to nothing to affect the offense directly in the last four games. Well, I got to disagree with that a little bit. I'll tell you why in a minute. He has caught two passes in the past two games and was only thrown to once this past game. His only apparent function in the past four games is as a decoy to permit the short yardage receivers and the tight ends to get open. The only time Brady actually tried to throw to him, he forced the ball and we lost the game. I believe Belichick will scheme the offense so that other receivers in the system will force a decoy effect and get Welker, Hernandez, Gronkowski in the backs open, and if they do not take the decoy bait and do not double cover the deep receivers, Brady will eat them up, deep throwing to Tate and Welker, who will go deep, leaving Hernandez open. This, I believe, eliminates trouble from the team, as in my opinion, Moss has already packed it in. Well, again, the only part I'll disagree a little bit with that is that people will say Randy Moss didn't do his job on Monday night. And with the exception of a couple of missed blocks, which I think were blatant, and I mean Olay-type misses, I was disgusted at him. But I wasn't disgusted at the way he ran routes. I mean, and I watched the game again. Maybe I missed a play or two here or there that I wasn't watching. And again, coach's film is much different than what we see on television, even if you DVR it and slow it down. To me, he did his job. Because he didn't have any catches, to me, does not mean he's dogging it. I know in his mind, if we talked about with Jason Cole from Yahoo, that wide receiver Devers think that way. But I don't. I mean, he allowed other people to get open because he was double covered all the time. As we talked about, Bonte Davis, a great young corner, was all over him. And I think he continued to do that. Randy Moss, to me, does not have to catch 20 passes or 20 catches or 20 touchdowns to be a great player. I know he's a great player. The league knows he's a great player. People in the league, players in the league knows he's a great player. So all I can say is, if he's going to be double covered all day and doesn't have to catch the ball and the Patriots still win, I don't care if it's by 2, 3, 4, or 40 points. That's all I care about. That's all he should care about. Now, we all know the truth is a little different, but I really thought this year maybe it would click in with him that you're good, Randy. You're great. You're a Hall of Fame receiver. Do you have to hear it every play, every game? You're going to get paid. You are going to get paid. You don't have to catch 23 touchdown passes. Let's read another email from Gene in Daytona Beach. Nice. It's a flood up here today, Gene. Hi, Pete. Love your show and wish you were on more than once a week. Well, we're working on that. Kevin, you're doing a great job. Good plug for you, Kev. Interacting in the show. After hearing you guys analyzing this trade, I feel a lot better. I am not worried about losing Randy if it allows Tom to spread the ball around more like he did before Randy came to the team. I've watched Aaron Hernandez play here in Florida for years, and I feel he will fill the void. This kid is a fighter and will attack this opportunity. He will make Tom forget about Randy pretty quick. Well, thank you for the kind words, Gene. I think it has to go a little bit deeper, though, than one player in Aaron Hernandez. Because they're all going to have to step it up. And the problem is with the younger guys, and Aaron and Gronkowski both seem to be, they have it already. There's something about those two guys. They get it. They do not look like rookies. They look like they've been in the league 3 or 4 years. So now the pressure is really going to be on those two guys, along with Wes Welker, who's going to be double-teamed a lot. And it remains to be seen how this offense is going to react to the loss of Randy Moss. And we may not know how good or how bad this offense is going to be for another couple of weeks. They may crap out and suck completely. I think that's far-fetched. Is it possible? Sure, it's possible. I don't know what kind of a domino effect this is going to have on the team. But I do know the quarterback and the coach pretty well and some of the other players. And I think they will overcome and adapt and adjust, as they always do, for the most part. They'll survive. Like I said, there might be a hiccup or two along the way. But in the end, this team is going to survive. They're going to win games. And my feeling is they'll be in the playoffs. Sarah says, Pete, great show as usual. Looking forward to this coming Monday night game as I did for the Pats Dolphins. There must have been a method to the madness to trade Moss. Hope he kicks some butt against the Jets and thinking that his leaving might only make the Pats stronger with one less monkey off the back. Just my two cents. A nice watch and keep up the good work. Yeah, I agree. We will see. We all hope that he kicks butt against the Jets on Monday night. Gordon says, Pete, you keep asking if this team can win a championship without Randy Moss. They have never won a championship with him. Okay, Gordon, but that's not fair. And that's about the fourth or fifth time I've heard that today in the last, you know, couple of hours in John's show and all around. It's not fair.
If Asante Samuel picks that ball off or Tyree doesn't make
it. Or Merriweather picks the ball off. They had three chances and, you know, technically it was a sack anyway. Jarvis Green was pulling Eli Manning down. He threw the most miracle, you know, Hail Mary up. Wounded duck in the air in the middle of the field, and it just happened to be wedged between David Tyree's head and face, and it's a bozo that's not even in the league anymore who can't play. See, now I'm going to get all upset again about it, but that's not Randy Moss's fault. Randy Moss caught some passes in that game. Certainly was a major threat that entire year. So you can't say it took one ridiculous miracle catch for the Patriots not to win that Super Bowl. So let's be a little fair here. John says, Pete, great show. I say F Borges. He just hates Coach Belichick. Well, we all know that. No matter what he says, no matter how much he tries to deny it, that's a simple fact. The man has personal issues with Coach Belichick for whatever reason, because he traded his Binky Bledsoe to Buffalo and he hasn't gotten over it. It's just that simple. It really is. Problem is, guys like Borges, is he wants the coach to do his job for him. That's the problem. He wants him to tell him stuff. No. It's not his job. His job is to coach football. You find your own. You find out on your own. And F the fans that are panicking. This is from, again, John, in Grand Junction, Colorado. The Pats are 3-1. We have missed the playoffs once in recent memory, and that was with an 11-5 record without a starting quarterback. We just missed a perfect season because of a miracle pass and catch by the Giants. We are still the team of the decade. We have two picks in each of the first four rounds next year, a young D that will get better and better. I will trust the guy that built and coached that. Well, I'm with you. I'm with you there. Doesn't mean you can't question the decision. I'm not saying that, guys and girls. You have every right to question the decision. Look, if you want to call it a bonehead move, that's fine. It's your prerogative. I understand that. But I've heard too much overreaction over the years from this team after one game, and it has come back to bite a lot of you guys in the butt, in the media and fan-wise, because of one player being let go. All we heard in the Rachel Caldwell was there's no way the Patriots can do anything good. They went to the AFC Championship game and nearly pulled it off, and it wasn't because of lack of offense. People will argue, well, if they'd won one more game during the year, that game would have been in Foxborough. Well, okay, fine. The fact of the matter is they're up by three touchdowns in that game against the Colts. And Eric Alexander, unfortunately, had the flu, was playing as a fifth or sixth string linebacker at the end of the game to cover Dallas Clark. That's why they lost the game. Because they certainly would have gone to the Super Bowl and kicked the Bears' ass in that game. There's no doubt about it. And, of course, 2007 was 2007. We're going to go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. And let's go to Bob from Maine. Hi, Bob. You're up next on the Pete Shepard Show. Hey, Bob.
Good. Hey, look, a couple of points I wanted to make, and it was about the last game with the Dolphins.
Sure.
And, okay, they let Randy Moss go. I think they had a cancer in the locker room with him, and I think they made a decision, although we hate it now, we may live to like it more in the future if the team continues to do well. But what I thought the team did wrong in the game, two things. I thought the offense was still horrible. The special teams played great. They did a great job, and they won the game for them. The offense only scored 14 points. They still weren't that great.
But the thing is, you know what, though? I agree. They had some they struggled a little bit, but they also had some pretty neat plays. They had some nifty plays that they ran, and they did, I think in a game like that, Bob, you have to cut them a little bit of slack because of the way the special teams played, because they had such a big lead in the third quarter. You know, I think that changes the dynamic of the game a little bit. I think we'll have a much better feel and be a lot more comfortable if they can put up 24-plus points against this Baltimore defense coming up a week from Sunday. Now, that's going to be a true test. I mean, that's going to really be a true test.
But the other point I thought they made a mistake on, and not the players, but in the coaching, is – why try for the two-point conversion when you're up three touchdowns? Why didn't they do that up two touchdowns?
Well, because you're talking about the Patriots?
Well, the Patriots went for a two-point conversion to put them up full three TDs.
Yeah.
They should have done that when they were one TD up.
No. That wouldn't be the right time to do that.
Too early in the game.
Too early in the game, and Belichick always likes to be three scores. He's always about, at the end of the game, being three scores ahead. But that, I think too many coaches do it too early in the game, and it comes back to bite him in the butt.
Okay,
so that's why. But usually, that's why I did it at the end, because he's always thinking. He said it before many times to me on when I was working at EEI and you know in the past when we had him on Mondays, we'd bring that stuff up all the time. He's always thinking about three scores ahead in the fourth quarter. If he can be up three scores, even with a couple minutes left, because he knows he can march down the field in 30 seconds, score a touchdown, you get an onside kick, something crazy happens, you know. It's happened before. I remember the Indy-Tampa Bay game, the night the Red Sox beat the Oakland A's in the playoffs, game five in 2003.
Yep.
Well, Derek Lowe's game was the night, people forget, one of the great Monday night games of all time, and all of us around here are watching the Red Sox beat the A's. But that was when Tampa was up big in that game. And Indy came back with like four touchdowns in the last 5 minutes to win the game.
Correct.
So, I mean, it can happen. We saw Indy against Houston 2 years ago. They were down three touchdowns with like 4 minutes to go and somehow came back and won. So that's his mentality. He'd rather be up by three late than in the second quarter. He's not really looking at that.
Okay. I just think that the offense still needs to improve more than what they're doing.
And I agree.
Think the problem's Randy Moss. I think the problem's I don't know. I shouldn't say. I just don't think it was Randy Moss alone not being double teamed. It just the offensive line didn't seem crisp in running plays.
When? On Monday?
Oh, no. No, against Monday they were better.
How about against the Bills?
I thought they were fair.
Fair? Bob, they dominated them. They rushed for over 200 yards as a team. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis had over 100 yards. Go back and check the numbers, my friend. You'll see.
All right.
You'll see. Certainly against Cincinnati, they did whatever they wanted. Now, against the Jets, what happened against the Jets was, and I blame a lot of that on Brady. That was the Darrelle Revis curse, unfortunately. The worst thing that happened was that guy going out of the game. Because all of a sudden it was Cromartie Moss show, and for the first time in a long time, to me, all Brady was trying to do was give Randy the loving he was deserved, that he wanted, and throw him the ball all the time, and then neglected everybody else. And since then, it's been different. It's been back to the same old Tom Brady. But they were doing okay on offense, I mean, in the first half against the Jets. And then in the second half, they just started forcing the ball to Moss every play. So I think if you really go back and see, I think this offensive line, that's why Logan Mankins got to be pooping his pants a little bit. Because, you know, the offensive line has done a pretty good job. Brady's only been sacked twice, I think, this year.
And if this line can make Woodhead and Ben Jarvis Greenhouse look good, then, you know, they're doing a pretty good job.
No question. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get more of emails. I got a ton of them to read. We'll also get my picks in as well. 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, email me at the at webradio@patriots.com. I'm also on Facebook, got my Facebook page open, put it on my wall. I'll be happy to read it. It's the Pete Shepard Show on patriots.com. More of your phone calls and more of your emails up next.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
And back here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Huh? Jen, paying my marketing director thousands of dollars a week to come up with that one. 508-543-7482. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us. Me at webradio@patriots.com. Facebook me as well. Let's get to some of these emails. Got some emails, a couple of calls, and we'll take, I'll do my picks as well about five of. Last week, I think I was, 8-8? I think I was 8-8 last week. I went against my better judgment by going with the double-digit spreads, and I shouldn't have. Should have known better. Anyway, hey, guys, it's Eric from California. Sorry I had to hang up on y'all. My boss walked in. You know how that goes. Yep. Well, really, I wouldn't be so worried about the whole letting Moss go. Oh, well, you know Moss. We have a strong offense, or at least on its way to be, and the same with the defense. Yeah, I believe it will put pressure on our guys, but that's how you get better, just like Moss. So let's give all our guys the benefit of the doubt that they're a strong physical team, and this will only make them a strong mental team. Well, it's possible.
So now we know why you get rid of us, Pete. Now we know why you get rid of us, why you bolted on us.
That's right, yeah.
All we got was dial tone.
That's right. Boss walked in. Andrew says, Pete, love the show. First, I know we've talked and talked about this Moss trading, but I would like to throw in my thoughts. Sure. I'm a lifelong Patriots fan and was a Randy Moss supporter. With that said, I'm okay with this. Like many have said, I think that there must have been some off-field locker room problems in order for this to have taken place. I'm already tired of the Vincent Jackson talk, though. I agree. I don't see any way the Patriots reaching out and signing him with all of his problems, not to mention the financial obligations that would come with him. However, I wonder if there is another receiver or defensive player out there that might soon be a Patriot. Any thought? Second, well, let's address that first. I agree. I don't think the Vincent Jackson thing is going to come. I think a lot of people love to see Logan Mankins in his third-round pick go to San Diego for Vincent Jackson. I'm not sure if Vincent Jackson will be coming here anytime soon. Now, I said, used to say that about Randy Moss as well. Vincent Jackson's got, two DUI charges, one more, and he's really bleeped in the league. I think he misses, five or six games if he gets one more charge against him. Is that what it is, Kev?
Be tough to take a chance on a guy like that.
Yeah.
Knowing that if you go out and guarantee him 15 mil.
Exactly.
And you know that he could be out for a quarter of a season.
The Patriots have surprised me with some interesting trades before when they got Corey Dillon, when they got Randy Moss. So, I will never say never.
Pete, what would you think about a guy? I'm just curious to get your opinion on a guy that might become available as we go along here in the next week. What do you think about a guy like Lee Evans?
Yeah, somebody else brought that up today.
Kind of like that second tier.
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that one bit. And people are like,
seems like a low-key guy.
Yeah, and Buffalo might be one of the worst teams in the league. So you can't go by what happened. Certainly, most of us saw that game on Sunday, and certainly wasn't his fault.
No, and there are a lot of people that speak of him. And they use the point, well, look who's been throwing him the ball.
Well, exactly.
And
exactly.
If you give him an actual quarterback, he could put up great numbers.
No question. You put any second-tier receiver in the league on this offense, and they're going to blossom. There's no doubt about that. Second, says Andrew, I was very pleased with the game on Monday night. Even though there was still room for improvement on the defensive side of things, I was very happy to see the team play more as a team and take advantage of turnovers. The most impressive part of the past 2 weeks for me has been the running game. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Woodhead have played great. They've been quick, decisive, and explosive, and both found the end zone 2 weeks in a row. Also now, with Moss out and Tate most likely becoming more of the offense, I wouldn't be surprised to see Woodhead return some kicks. Lastly, I think one of the biggest fallouts last season was the lack of leadership in the locker room, and I really think that this year Bill is trying to keep that from happening again. I totally agree with you there, Andrew. That's a great point. I brought it up somewhat earlier, but that's a great point you made with such a young and promising team. So, unfortunately, that means Moss leaves, but if that keeps the team united and strong in the long run, I'm okay with it. What do you think? I think you're absolutely correct. I think you're onto something there. I think that's a big part of it. Big part of it. All right, let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and check in with Tony in Las Vegas. Tony!
Hey, what's going on, Pete?
What's up, Tony? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm a longtime Patriots fan. I was born in Boston, raised in Miami, so Monday night was extra special for me.
Nice. What are you doing in Vegas?
I live out here. I'm going to make a killing betting the Patriots over every week. Just take the over in the game. It doesn't matter who they play. It's going to go over every week.
Nice.
But the reason for the call, I just wanted to say, I think Andrew Hernandez, I don't know his first name.
Aaron.
The tight end out of Florida.
Yes.
He's a monster in the making, and so is Tate. We're going to be fine without Moss. And you made a great point. The main reason I called, I got so sick of Brady looking for Moss. Now he can go back to the way he used to be, and we'll probably get to the Super Bowl.
Well, look, I mean, certainly there's a chance, and the Super Bowl is a long way away, but certainly, you know, he was looking for Moss in that one half of football against the Jets. I mean, Darrell Revis went out, and it was a complete blessing in disguise for the Jets, even though they'll never admit it, that Cromartie was covering Moss the rest of the way, and it was all of a sudden, it was just the Tom Brady, Randy Moss show, and nobody else existed. So I don't think you'll ever see Brady react like that.
And he does it a lot. He's always looking for Moss, and you know what? We'll be way better off now.
Well, I'm not sure. Well, that remains to be seen. They may not be better off. But I can tell you this. I mean, in the Cincinnati game, they spread the ball around. In the Buffalo game, they spread the ball around. And in the Miami game, for the most part, they spread the ball around. I mean, Moss was being double-teamed, but he allowed other people to get open. It was only that one half. In the first half against the Jets, they spread the ball around. It was just for that last 30 minutes.
I'm thinking about more last year. There's a lot of games, a lot of times I watch his eyes on Moss a lot, more than I've ever seen him key in on any player.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Walker had a monster year last year until he got hurt in the end. I mean, he torched Miami. Remember that game against Miami? He had 15 catches for 180 yards. I mean, I think he spread the ball out pretty much last year. He just didn't have the weapons. He didn't have the tight end weapons he had this year, so he probably was looking to Moss a little bit more because he didn't have as many weapons that they have now.
I do wish him well, though. I hope he does good in Minnesota so we can play them in the Super Bowl.
Oh, that would be fantastic. What about Halloween night here in Foxborough? I mean, that's going to be unbelievable. It'll be nighttime at 4:15 on Halloween, so that's going to be fantastic.
That's going to be great.
All right,
man. I love your show. I listen in Vegas all the time, man. You have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Put a dime down for me on the over. 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Here on up, and also you can email us at webradio@patriots.com. I'm going to do my picks in just a minute. Nick says in New Hampshire, I think the Pats made a bad deal. Third round, they should go for LT. That is I don't know. That's kind of gibberish. I don't know what they're talking about. I think the Pats made a bad deal. Three round, they should go for LT. That is a beater.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
I mean, I don't get it. I'm not seeing it.
Might as well be Spanish.
Hey, this is from, who's this from? It's from Brandon. Hey, Brandon from Baltimore here. Love Randy Moss. Love the Patriots. But, with about 10 T's and about 10 dots, BB did this to make room for Matt Slater to start. The new secret.
It is what it is.
The new secret weapon.
That's crazy talk.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Certainly you're entitled to that theory. If that is what, as incorrect as that is.
But, Pete, you think we're going to get to see some Taylor Price finally?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The other caller brought that up. I think possibly. I think that's possible. Look, if he's good enough, if he's ready to play, he'll play.
Yeah.
Like I said, the best player, one thing I know about Bill is that the best players will play. You've already seen the slight demise of Brandy Merriweather this year. He kind of redeemed himself a little bit Monday night. But he doesn't care. Bill does not care for me, the Pro Bowl, whatever. If you suck during practice during the week, you ain't playing. You know, if you suck the week before and don't show improvement during practice in that week, you're not playing.
I'm kind of anxious or curious, though, to see how Price will react in a game environment, see him out there.
Yeah, it'll be great to see. Yeah. I hope he gets out there. And I hope he gets out there. Might be this week. It might not. Nick says, why you have Ocho Cinco, LaDainian Thomas, and Larry Fitzgerald? That's the better deal. I still don't know. I think it's a continuation from something else.
Blow him up.
He lost me. He really did. He lost me.
Maybe he's talking fantasy.
Probably.
Maybe he's writing into the wrong show.
You know, I'm all for, I mean, so many people play fantasy football. I don't, but I mean, I know people are into it. I just don't.
We have the fantasy lowdown on the same.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a great show. But what happens is people who play fantasy football sometimes, especially the younger guys who play, get caught up in those numbers, those net yardage numbers, and think they actually mean something in real life, and they don't. That's why it's called fantasy football,
exactly.
Because I'm sure Chad Henne probably came away with some pretty decent, probably not because of the interceptions.
The picks, yeah.
But a lot of those games.
I get what you're saying.
A lot of those games, you get a lot of net yards given up to the team. If the Patriots have a big lead, you're going to have some good number, fantasy numbers if you're a quarterback because you're down by 3 touchdowns. And it doesn't mean the quarterback had a great game. A lot of people don't believe that's the case. Bish says on Facebook, sounding great on Patriots.com, Pete. Keep up the great work. Forgot the P. That's all right.
We'll take it.
I get you.
We'll take it however we get it.
I get you. 508-543-7482, Ace Ticket Hotline. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. So it's going to be an interesting couple of days here, and it's going to be interesting to hear the reaction from a lot of the players over the next couple of days. You've already heard little snippets of some people saying they're glad Moss is gone. There was an apparent little verbal altercation. Maybe the first one that we know about. We've heard there were others with Coach O'Brien, quarterback's coach. I'm sure more of that is going to surface here as time goes on. I will say it again for the final time today. Are the Patriots better off right now? I don't know. They have a less talented team than they did than a few hours ago. But does that mean they're not a better team? That remains to be seen. We will not know that probably for another 5 or 6 weeks. It's not a one game reaction. It's not going to be, if they ever lose to Baltimore, people will go crazy on that one game if the offense, doesn't produce anything. And even if the offense does produce and they win 14-13, there'll still be those out there that even though Baltimore's one of the top defenses in the league, will complain about it. We have gotten so spoiled around here with sexy 38-10 wins and 24-10 wins and 2-3 touchdown wins when the average score in the NFL is won by a touchdown or less for the most part. So I think that's a big part of it. And I do think fantasy football numbers come into play in a lot of people's minds because I think it transcends to real life and it just doesn't. So I've given you my thoughts. And I appreciate yours as well.
And for the record, Pete, mm-hmm. You know how we were discussing the whole Ed Reed thing?
Yeah.
The first game he's eligible to return is October 21st against the Bills, so he will miss that Patriots game.
Nice. That's good. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. The Patriots, I think that's a game that Bill Belichick will have circled on the calendar when the schedule came out last year.
So we miss him by 1 week.
Miss him by 1 week. Oh, what a shame. What a shame. That's the first time that's happened. He is a tremendous player. Do you have my bumper music for my picks? I have special music that Jason puts out there.
What is it?
Actually, what does he do? I think he does the match game. I think he does the match game music.
I have the Monday Night Football music.
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to do the Monday. Just give me something. Pick something. Pick something for me. How about a little Asia? Find only time will tell. I think that song's fitting for today, don't you? Little Asia, little 80s rock, baby. Gotta love it. At least I'm not playing freaking Don't Stop Believing. I'm still upset about The Sopranos ending that way. I don't care. I refuse to watch it again. Ever. Ever. Not even reruns. Not even A&E with the swears bleeped out, which I think is ridiculous. It's all right. Time now for Pete Shepard's picks, all right? Guaranteed to go at least 9-7. Guaranteed or your money back. Here we go. First game, Denver is at Baltimore. The Ravens are -7. Baltimore, big win last week at Pittsburgh. Denver, big win as well. Too many points for me. I'm taking the Broncos. My man, Kyle Orton, is the man. They laughed at me for years over where I used to work. I kept telling them when he was at Purdue what this kid was all about. I thought the trade, when they traded him from the Bears to Denver, under Coach Josh McDaniels, he would prosper. He has. Pete, right again. Cutler sucks. And Kyle Orton has become a better quarterback than Cutler. Take the Broncos +7. Jacksonville is a pick at Buffalo. Buffalo's been picking their noses for the last 4 weeks. They suck. That was so pathetic what they did against the Jets. I can't even tell you. I don't know if they're ready to beat Jacksonville State, let alone Jacksonville Jaguars. I'll take Jacksonville in the pick. Thank you. Travis Beal will be here all week. Next game. This is an interesting game right here. The undefeated Kansas City Chiefs with Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel as coordinators and Matt Castle at quarterback, facing off against Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts in that pathetic stadium.
You think Charlie says a lot of this?
New stadium,
you think,
huh?
Charlie says a lot of this in Kansas
City? Get the f*** off the field!
I think he does. Those people don't know what that word means, but I'm sure he does. Anyway, Kansas City minus 8.5. Kansas City is at Indy. 8.5-point dogs. Indy losing last week in Jacksonville. Will they take out the frustration on the upstart 3-0 Chiefs? 8.5 points seems like too much for me. It seems like too much. I'm taking the Chiefs plus the 8.5. Matt Castle does it again. At least I think he covers. The upstart St. Louis Rams, another team I had last week. They are 3-point dogs at Detroit. The Lions are due to win. They have come so close. I think they get it done this week. I take the 3-point. I laid it 3. I like the Lions in a squeaker. Maybe they win by 4 or 5 over St. Louis. That should be a very competitive game, though. That could be a very high-scoring game. The Falcons at Cleveland. Falcons had to come back from behind again at home against the pathetic 49ers and squeak it out. Falcons minus 3 at Cleveland. Tough call. Browns are playing pretty well. But I'll take the Falcons minus the 3 on the road. At Cincinnati, they are a 6.5-point favorite over Tampa Bay. I like Cincinnati in this one. Tampa Bay could be a little cool in Ohio this weekend. You know how they are when it's below 50 degrees. I'm not saying it's going to be that, but Tampa Bay in the Midwest, don't like it. Like the Bengals. Chicago, Carolina. Here's a battle of pathetic teams. Chicago minus 2.5 at Carolina. I'm not buying it. I'll take Carolina minus 2.5. Cutler sucks. I hate him. He's awful. I'll take Carolina. I'll take any game. I'll go against Cutler in every game he plays in.
Tell me how you really feel.
Sucks. Terrible. One of the most overhyped stars. He's done nothing. What's he ever done? Nothing. Green Bay is at Washington. Minus 2.5. At Washington. Very interesting game here. Donovan McNabb all pumped up last week. Obviously. Beating the Eagles. Michael Vick went down. I thought Washington might win anyway. I kind of changed my mind. I picked the Eagles on the show, but then I changed my mind during the week and told my friends to take Washington, believe it or not. Sorry. But I like Green Bay here. Minus 2.5. Houston is a 3-point favorite against the Giants. Houston at home against the Giants. I will take Houston minus 3. You know, the Giants rebounded a little bit against the Bears the other night. They just don't look good. Eli Manning does not look good at all. I'll take Houston. New Orleans is minus 6.5 at Arizona. Again, Saints are a weird team, hard team to figure out. They let everybody stick around. Too many points for me at Arizona. It's been like 127 degrees out there the last couple of days. See the hail that fell outside of Phoenix last night? Giant softballs. But I'll take Arizona plus a 6.5 there. Then we got San Diego minus 6 at the Raiders. This used to be a close game all the time. Now, not so much. Oakland is just so pathetic. Houston was up by 17 middle of the third quarter last week. Probably could have won that game by 30. You got to figure San Diego is going to blow this team. Oakland sucks. Oakland and the Bills should play the suck bowl and see what team could suck worse. Because they stink. They suck and they stink. Both of those teams. Horrible. Dallas, home. 6.5-point favorite. Tennessee. Rejuvenated after they went over Houston. Had the bye week last week, right? Cowboys had the bye week. But
sucky.
They will come crashing back to earth again as the Titans. I'm gonna pick the upset here. Titans not only cover, they win the game outright. How about that? Tennessee plus a 6.5, and they win the game outright. At San Francisco, they are a 3-point favorite over the Philadelphia Eagles. San Fran, minus 3 over Philly. Got to figure the 49ers have to win sometime, don't they? This might be it. I'm going to go with the 49ers. Mike Singletary gets it done. And then he moons the entire San Francisco 49er crowd afterwards just because he can. And then finally, on Monday Night Football, at the new Meadowlands Stadium, the Jets versus Randy Moss and the Minnesota Vikings. The Jets are minus 4. I got another upset special for you. Minnesota. No. Awful. Another upset special for you right here. Minnesota plus the 4 at the J-O-K-E-S, jokes, jokes, jokes. I still say they're going to finish 8-8, and I don't care where they are. I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs. If they do, they squeak in as a wild card team. Although I must tell you, I'm getting a little more respect every week for Sanchez. I have to be fair.
I agree.
I'm trying to let my utter hatred for that team come into play of my thoughts. But he made some tremendous throws against Miami. He made some tremendous throws against the Buffalo Bills.
Very efficient.
So if he keeps developing that way, I may have to change my thought process. But for right now, I hate him. I hate the Jets. And I still think they're going to go 8-8 for now. I might change my mind next week. But for now, I'm picking the Vikings. Randy Moss. 2 touchdown catches in this game. Now, how about this? Is Revis going to play Monday night, or is he out again? He's going to play. Now, this is going to be interesting. How that matchup again, twice in, 3 weeks or 4 weeks?
Just a different shirt.
Rooting for the laundry, baby. And I'll be rooting for that fraud Brett Favre and those purple people eaters on that's an insult to the great 70s defenses for the Minnesota Vikings. But I'll be rooting for the Minnesota Vikings. As you all will. And everybody here will be rooting for Randy Moss to beat the jokes on Monday night. I like Minnesota.
I always wanted to be a Packer. And I think I always will be a Packer.
Well, that's going to do it for the Pete Shepherd Show. PRPatriots.com. Again, we will be back next Tuesday. Thanks to all the listeners. Thank you so much. We've had a tremendous response. Really, my boss has told me it has been through the roof. So thank you so much. And hopefully we can do multiple shows here. Right, Frank? Fred? Right? Right, Fred? Right, Fred? Right, said Fred? I know Fred's listening. We love you, Fred. That's going to do it. Have a great and safe rest of your Wednesday, everybody. I will be back next Tuesday from 4 to 6 right here on Patriots.com. It's Pete Shepherd for Kevin, the producer. A tremendous job. Again, thanks to all the callers and all the emailers. Have a great and safe Wednesday night. Stay dry. Talk to you next week. Peace. Bye.
Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.